My name is Tabitha Pegg. My student number is 21336853, and this is my dramaturgical portfolio submission for May 2019. All citations within my work have been clearly referenced in the script that I will submit alongside this podcast. Thank you very much in advance for listening. Theatre created to shine a light on political and social issues has been present from as far back in history as the ancient Greek era, around 800 BC. Political satire focusing around the current affairs of that time were performed for arenas of spectators where public opinion could be guided, moulded, and manipulated. Political theatre was also seen in the form of medieval bards, who travelled around England delivering the latest news from the king's court. This news was generally presented in the form of light-hearted and comedic songs, carefully tailored and edited to the king's liking before it reached the ears of the people. A little later in the 16th and 17th centuries, playwrights such as Shakespeare also explored relevant political ideas and themes. These matters are covered overtly in his 10 historical plays, focusing on issues such as war versus peace, legitimacy versus illegitimacy, politics and religion, and more covertly in plays such as Hamlet and Macbeth, where he explores the components of what makes a good prince or king, and powerlust. Again, like ancient Greek theatre, these works were performed to masses of spectators of all class. Fast forward to the 19th century, and we have the birth of Marxism and the communist crusade against capitalism. This inspired works of political theatre in the 20th century, which led to the emergence of theatrical practitioners whose political views and statements were at the heart of what they created, including self-proclaimed Marxist Bertolt Brecht. Brecht used his platform as an author, playwright, theatre director, and poet to create work that upheld his Marxist ideals. Brecht strived in his work to systematically abandon theatrical conventions of the realist and naturalist stage. He was a key figurehead of the genre of theatre titled epic theatre, or as Brecht preferred to refer to it, dialectical theatre. The aim of epic theatre is not to entertain the audience or evoke emotion, but rather to inform and encourage. He actively rejected the illusionistic representational realism of plays set in real rooms with real people, with a fourth wall where the spectator was to remain invisible and unacknowledged, found in the work of playwrights of the time such as Henrik Ibsen and practitioners such as Konstantin Stanislavski. In his view, dramatic theatre carried away the audience with emotion, stopping them from making use of their intellect. In response to this, he instead opted for a dialectical, anti-illusionistic approach to theatre in the hope of evoking intellectual investment as opposed to emotional investment, bar socially useful emotions, from the spectator. He also encouraged the spectator to actively seek meaning for themselves within the work as opposed to being a passive viewer, something that Western theatregoers had become accustomed to during the realism works of the late 19th and early 20th century, encouraging cognitive thinking from his audiences. This was achieved through a technique which was later termed the verfremdum effect, or alienation slash distancing effect. This is effectively presenting a familiar point or the subject matter in an unfamiliar way to amplify the spectator's awareness and understanding of the original point, making the familiar strange and the strange familiar. The distancing effect is principally achieved by abandoning the pretense that the audience is eavesdropping on an actual event by openly admitting that the theatre is a theatre and not the world itself. This can be implemented through various techniques, which include, but are not limited to, directly addressing the audience in and out of character,
hello there,
revealing the mechanics of the theatre, for example, the exposure of the back wall, rigs, and even theatre technicians, speaking the stage direction, use of signs and placards and projections, often telling the audience what is about to happen before the scene begins, or stating the moral intentions behind the scenes for the audience to ponder and match to the action.
Spoiler.
Use of comedy to distance the audience from emotional or serious events, masks, puppetry, and use of music. Brechtian tactics were implemented and are extremely prominent in Kurt Weill's 1928 song Mack the Knife from the Threepney Opera, written by Brecht and Weill. The terrifying lyrics tell the story of the murders of serial killer Mack the Knife and is set to upbeat, jaunty music. This is a perfect example of the distancing effect being used to alienate the audience. They encourage them to intellectually process the meaning of the song and understand that though the experience on the surface seems fun and light-hearted, the message being relayed to them is in fact intensely disturbing. More recently, very similar strategies have been used in YouTube vloggers Flo and Jones' Have a Cup of Tea, brackets, a 2017 song. Here we see the negative political events and topics of 2017, such as nuclear war threats, failing Brexit negotiations, and a rise in white supremacy, set to an upbeat and jaunty tune. We are again presented with two juxtaposing ideas in one performance, where the meaning isn't handed to us on a plate, but rather we are encouraged to actively listen and decipher the meaning for ourselves. An example of a piece of political performance that challenged and questioned the current state of the world refugee crisis is the 2017 play The Jungle. Here, many uncomfortable questions were brought to light and presented in front of an audience, such as, why did the government of Europe's 750 million inhabitants react with such cruelty and hysteria to the idea of just a million refugees coming to the continent? Do the rich really believe, as a matter of long-term policy, that they can live indefinitely in gated communities and keep the poor out? Are they never going to share? How can Theresa May call herself Christian? How can anyone still propagate free market capitalism when they are so opposed to the free movement of people? Here, we have a performance presented in a prestigious theatre, the Young Vic Theatre, in the UK's affluent capital city, to an audience who all have the privilege of being able to view this piece of theatre in a country that isn't war-torn, and more than likely will have a home to return to once it's over. Writers of the piece, Joe Murphy and Joe Robertson, founders of the theatre company Good Chance, originally built theatres and performed in refugee camps across the globe for thousands of refugees who didn't possess these luxuries. Their production of The Jungle offers the privileged a glimpse into the horrific reality of refugee life by seating them in a set resemblant of a camp cafe, and even going as far as offering the spectator to share their bread with them. An example of the distancing effect being used through acknowledgement of the spectator and space. It forces the spectator to accept that they, at the very best, are acceptant and tolerant of the unjust consequences being faced by real people behind newspaper articles and statistics, and reflect on what they can do to help this crisis. After researching into different kinds of theatre taking place around the world, advocating for change for numerous important political issues, I began to undertake an exploration around a topic that I find both perplexingly interesting and intensely unjust. Classism. This is a concept that is at the very core of the Communist Manifesto. To quote, "The history of all hitherto existing society is the history of class struggles, freeman and slave, patrician and plebeian, lord and serf, guildmaster and journeyman. In a word, oppressor and oppressed, stood in constant opposition to one another. The modern bourgeois society that has sprouted from the ruins of feudal society has not done away with class antagonisms." This roused curiosity in me, the exploitation and disadvantage of the lower class compared to, and even contributing to, the prosperity of the privileged and fortunate few. Upon considering topics that I may be interested in writing about, classism stood out as one of the most unreasonable things that we en masse as a society seem to accept, regardless of the fact that it is outrageously unfair and is something that most of the country is negatively affected by in one way or another. I questioned the fact that throughout my life I have often found myself at a disadvantage of some of my peers from a more affluent background who had had the opportunity of a private education that was far superior to my own. Similarly, I considered other people I know who I surpass regarding monetary privilege and the advantages that that gave me over them. And it led me to query why anyone should have to resign to fate influenced by whether they are born into a family with a high income or a low one.
That's not fair.
Why should something you have no control over, such as what social class you are born into, result in consequences that affect your chances in life? Consequences such as whether you get a fantastic education or a borderline average one. Therefore, having the increased chance to obtain a high-paying job or a job providing minimum wage. For the latter, this is something that can lead to an overall lower quality of life and maybe even a lower life expectancy. For me, this is something that I found unacceptable. And in response, I wrote my Dr. Seuss-esque piece of political theatre named The Tale of Timmy and Tom. This piece revealed the stark, horrific reality of British classism through the form of children's theatre. Here, I applied Brecht's distancing technique in numerous ways to help reinforce my point and encourage the spectators to engage their intellect rather than watch the piece passively. The light, harmless atmosphere of children's theatre contrasted with the depressing and dark content and overall message being told, a message that told the audience that they are all forced to resign to a fate that they can't control. This is an example of making the familiar strange and the strange familiar, which is demonstrated again in the piece when the characters are presented with a lucky dip, where the privileged character pulls out a high earning career and the lower class character a career providing minimum wage. This was also symbolic of Marxian class theory, as the lower income character proceeded to work for the privileged character, who profited from the other's misfortune and exploitation. Another example of distancing used within my piece was the unstable relationship between both protagonist and spectator, and the protagonists and their own character. That's where it begins. The fourth wall was often broken by the narrator-style character, who often acknowledged and spoke directly to the audience. This was also demonstrated by another character in the piece who broke out of character and delivered an important monologue revealing the unfair statistics relating to classism directly to the audience, reminding them that they are watching a piece of theatre and to watch and perceive it intellectually rather than emotionally. Like Mac the Knife and the 2017 song, I implemented the distancing effect within the piece through comedy, using humour to contradict the harrowing subject material covered in The Tale of Timmy and Tom. For example, when one of the characters die, it is presented in a humorous and borderline slapstick style, to the point where the subject matter of death is almost forgotten altogether, but established nonetheless for the audience to intellectually perceive. Here is the script of The Tale of Timmy and Tom, presented in the style of a children's audiobook. The distancing effect has been applied throughout in the form of content, style of narration, sound effects, and music. This is the story of Timmy and Tom. Here they are, newly born. You can barely tell one from the other. No bother. You'll be able to soon, because Tom gets a cockroach and Timmy a spoon.
Hello, piped up Tom. Is this a sick joke? He gets that nice spoon, but me a cockroach.
Never mind that now, Tom. No need to glower. Drink up your milk.
Mine's creamy.
Mine's sour.
I'm afraid that's the way of the game, my dear boy. Now you're five, though, it's time for a lovely new toy. Here, let's look into my lucky dip. For Timmy,
a digger!
For Tom,
huh? Jack shit, it's not that bad, Tomo. Let's dig way deep down. I'm sure I've got something here lying around. I know it's here somewhere. Aha! Have this, bud.
So I get a digger, and he gets a spud.
That's not the worst, is it? You're due a good meal.
That's true, I suppose, but this feels a raw deal.
There you go, laddie. Fill your tank up with fuel. For now, it is time for your first day at school.
At school,
chirped up Timmy.
I've heard it's the best.
Oh, a dream for you, Timmy, but poor Tom's not so blessed. Your school's a lot better and you learn much more stuff. While Tom, on the other hand... I get it. It's tough. But, my dear boy, you're entitled to learn. There, you're perfectly even. No need for concern. It's just, he's got the spoon. This is a hard one to broach.
I know. It's because of this horrible roach.
Ignore that for now. Just work and endure. And let's see what kinds of lies lay in store for our Timmy and Tom. Are you done? Let me guess. Your exam results?
Great!
And yours, Tom?
Not the best.
Well, with smaller class sizes and better resources and much better discipline than my school enforces, it's no wonder that he's heads and shoulders above. He's got chances that I could only dream of. Yes, we were both given an education, but the working class kids across the whole nation are fighting a battle that is uphill and steep, while his path's a lot clearer. It's unfair to compete. Doors are opened much wider for the privileged few. I'm 4 times less likely to get A stars than you. Your education's broader than the national curriculums. Your results topping league tables for the United Kingdom. And the UK top professions? Majority private school children. And the relationship between parental background and a person's income in the UK being one of the strongest amongst most countries by far. Can you not see why we are where we are? Society's static. It remains tightly closed. Almost no chance to climb is a fact we all know. What you're born into matters without one single doubt, no matter how much we scream or how much we shout. The people of influence within our country are overwhelmingly upper class, and this isn't something we should take lying down. So I must contend, this social elitism madness must end. Now, my dear boy, you must be fair. Oxford and Cambridge, there are plenty of state school kids there. Oh yeah? Compared to how many people from money? 43% of Oxford Uni are privately educated. Still funny? Well, it doesn't seem like much, right? But the facts still go on. 88% of the whole nation is state school and 7% independent. That's wrong. Well, when you're born and you're given a roach, you have to face life with a different approach. You accept the bare minimum and then just be glad that you have anything at all. We can't all be this lad. That silver spoon was just pure good luck. It could have been you with your mouth stuffed with muck. My prospects are low, my future is bare. I'm expected to have less and it's fucking unfair. Now I watch your mouth. Or do you want to starve? In an ideal world, we would all have what we wanted as ours. But this world's not ideal, Tom. So what will it be? Accept or go hungry. 1, 2.
Okay.
Tom worked for Timmy in a labouring job. He worked in all weathers through wind, rain and fog, content with his lot. Content! With his lot.
Yay.
Longer hours, less pay, until the day death came and took him away. Death did come for Timmy, but a fair few years later. Because of his spoon, his life expectancy's greater. And that was the story of our troublesome two. But there are plenty more out there, just like all of you. Billy and Bet, Jill and Jess,
Hello.
Pam and Pearl.
Hello.
Every day they are born and come into this world blissfully ignorant. But we know they should hope against hope that they're given a spoon and not a cockroach.
Theatre and performance has been used as a tool to question, protest and rethink topics such as gender, feminism, economics, war, language and one's sense of self. It has raised awareness of numerous important issues covering a vast range of topics. It dares and has dared to challenge unjust events throughout history, often helping provoke positive change. Its relevance and power should not be underestimated.
End of story. Bye-bye.